Let's turn to Daniel chapter 2. Who controls history? Let's read Daniel chapter 2 and find out. It begins in verses 1 through 3 with a king who cannot sleep because of his anxious thoughts. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, "I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream." Bad dreams and no sleep. Anxiety and no sleep. Even kings have these problems. When the king sleeps, everyone sleeps. When the king is awake, everyone is awake. And the wise men live to serve the king regardless of his whims and his demands, even as we serve our God. So the king says, "Here's my problem. Solve it. This man is the wealthiest in the world, the most powerful in the world, and the leader of the greatest nation in the world. Yet he has anxieties and anxieties that he cannot solve." So let's see what happens next in verses 4 through 13. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." But the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces or torn, from limb to limb, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation." The king answered and said, "I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requires, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this reason, the king was angry and very furious, and gave a command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. The king is wise. He knows that telling the dream and giving its interpretation are two different things. By the way, at verse 4, When it says that they spoke to him in Aramaic, literally in the original text, starting at this verse all the way through chapter 7, verse 28, we only have it preserved for us in Aramaic. The entire rest of the Old Testament is in Hebrew, except for Daniel 2:4 through chapter 7, verse 28. And Aramaic was the universal language of that day, even as English is today. But in verses 5 and 6, the king says, you know, his decision is firm. If they fail, it's curtains for them. If they succeed, it's high living for them. Look at man's rage. He can't conquer nations, but he cannot conquer his anger. Therefore, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. Now, in verses 7 through 9, the king is right. If they know the dream, then he will know that they have the power to give the correct interpretation. Obviously, these guys are somewhat smart. They're delaying for time. He's right on that point, too. They're hoping enough time will transpire that he'll get distracted with other matters concerning the kingdom and forget about this and go on, and they won't lose their lives. Of course, they won't get a reward either. The Babylonian wise men in verses 10 and 11 are also correct that such ability does not rest with men. Only God, or as they would say, the gods, can do such a thing. Yet the king does not understand that there is no precedent for such a request. This has never been done before. You're asking something of us that they're saying we can't do, and yet it seems like they're forgetting why they got their jobs in the first place. They should be able to do this very thing. Well, verses 12 and 13 show that the wise men fail. Therefore, kill them. You can't tell me why I can't sleep tonight. You guys are dead. The penalty is not just to be fired, but to be fried, so to speak. Sadly, Daniel and his friends are included, although they were not called to help the king. But Daniel, rather than panicking, deals with the situation properly. Verses 14 to 16. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time, that he might tell the king the interpretation. Daniel uses counsel and wisdom to find out what is going on. Arioch communicates to Daniel what the problem is. And he may be eager to do this because Arioch may have some buddies among the Babylonian wise men, and he doesn't want to lose them as friends. It's amazing in verse 16 that the king gives to Daniel what the Babylonian wise men wanted, but he wouldn't give to them time. He wouldn't give them time, but he gives it to Daniel. Perhaps because Daniel's cooperative spirit, his honesty, his respect for authority earns him an audience with this king. So here's what happens in verses 17 to 23. Where they seek mercies from the God of heaven. And please notice as we go through this, the rest of this chapter, how many times Daniel makes reference to the God of heaven. Verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the seasons, the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank You and praise You, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have made known to me what we asked of You. For You have made known to us the king's demand." Who controls history? God does. That's what Daniel says in this praise, this psalm that he offers up to God. He's been given the dream, perhaps even seen the dream itself. Then God gives him the interpretation, and it's obvious. My God controls history, and He controls what is about to happen. He makes history. Daniel seeks the help of his friends and his God, at first seeking salvation only for himself and his friends, not the wise men of Babylon. In verse 19, Daniel asked, sought, and knocked. And he received, and he found, and it was opened to him. And so, starting there at verse 19, also Daniel remembers to bless the God of heaven. First, notice that he blesses the name of God because wisdom and might are His. Daniel is a wise and powerful man, but he refuses to honor himself. Second, Daniel confesses that the God of heaven controls history. Third, Daniel declares the omniscience of God. He knows what no one else can know. Fourth, Daniel gives all the glory to God. So let's see what he says now when he goes before the king. Verses 24 through 30. Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation." But Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation." The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen, and its interpretation?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and He has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these." Now watch this. "As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And He who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for our sakes, who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. Well, Daniel is stopping the killing. With these words, he's going to stop the killing. Now he is seeking the salvation of the wise men. There is no need for them to die. To Arioch's credit, he knows that Daniel is different. Daniel is not asking for the dream. But Arioch goes before the king saying that Daniel knows the interpretation. This means that Daniel knows the dream, and Arioch knows that Daniel knows the dream. Therefore, Arioch brings Daniel quickly in before the king, for why should Arioch kill his fellow citizens when there's no need to do that? Verse 26, the king lets Daniel know that his decision is still firm, but oh, is the king in for a surprise. Daniel agrees with the wise men of Babylon. Yet, Daniel may have spoken in a way that Nebuchadnezzar believes Daniel, because he does not interrupt him, nor does he accuse Daniel of stalling for time. I love the words of Daniel in verse 28, how it starts out. There is a God in heaven. By implication, refuting all the gods of Babylon. There is a God in heaven who can fulfill your request, O king. And he has revealed to you what is going to happen. Again, as I said before, Daniel makes constant references to God, speaking of the God of heaven, distinguishing him from all the other gods that were in Babylon. Now, look at verse 29 carefully. Evidently, what prompted the dream is that Nebuchadnezzar was laying there in bed and he couldn't sleep, and he was thinking some things. He was wondering, what is going to happen after me? Well, Daniel, what he's doing is he's revealing more than what the king requested. The king just wants to know the dream and its interpretation. Well, he says, I'm going to tell you the dream, and I'm going to tell the interpretation, but I'm going to tell you why you had the dream. It's because you had some thoughts come into your mind where you were wondering what's going to happen after me. And God is here to tell you what's going to happen. And he's using me to reveal that to you. The God of heaven was peering inside the mind of the king while he was in the privacy of his bedroom. Now in verse 30, Daniel quickly denies personal power, but states precisely why this interpretation has been revealed, or why it's going to be revealed. It's for the sake of Daniel and his friends, that their lives might be saved, and that the king might know the thoughts of his heart. Here is the dream now, in verses 31 through 35. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. The king already knows, doesn't he? He knows this young man, perhaps a teenager standing before him, knows what was going on in his head that night. I wonder if he moves up to the edge of his seat to hear some more. My guess is that his eyes are so focused in on Daniel now that he doesn't see anything else in the room. He's hanging upon every word that Daniel speaks. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Yes, with that first sentence that's recorded in our verse 31, Nebuchadnezzar knows that Daniel knows the dream and therefore has the interpretation. The overall appearance of this image is magnificent because of its size and the materials used. However, as Daniel brings out in verses 34 and 35, a stone, a mere stone, destroys this great image. A stone is cut out without the use of hands, signifying that its beginning is unusual. And this is merely a stone, but it destroys gold, silver, bronze, and iron. This stone is different. The destruction of the image is so thorough that no trace of these metals shall be found later. The stone does its work very well. Then the stone becomes a great mountain filling the earth. A stone appears to be inferior to metal, but time shows this stone to be superior. Now, here's the interpretation. Verses 36 through 45. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours. Then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. No doubt, the king has been hanging on every word spoken by Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold, and the king knows that Daniel is not flattering him. He knows this has to be the truth. The only way he can know what I saw, and hence its interpretation, is because some God has revealed it to him. So this is the truth. This man's not trying to flatter me. The next kingdom, he says, shall be inferior to Babylon. The third shall be a kingdom that will rule over all the earth. And then he gives quite a bit of detail, or more detail, I should say, about the fourth kingdom. following Daniel's presentation here, and from what we see in the rest of the book of Daniel compared with history, we can know what these kingdoms are. Obviously, the head of gold is Babylon. The silver is the Medo-Persian Empire. The bronze is the Grecian Empire. The iron is the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire will be very strong, but it will have weak spots, making it vulnerable, so that it will be humbled before an even greater kingdom. And that's when Daniel says that it's during the days of that fourth empire the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom. This kingdom is greater than the previous four for at least six reasons that Daniel reveals here. Number one, the God of heaven shall have a personal hand in setting up this kingdom. Number two, it shall never be destroyed. Number three, it shall never be left to another people. Number four, it shall break in pieces the previous kingdoms. Number five, it shall consume those kingdoms. And number six, he says, it shall stand forever. Now watch how the king responds to this in the last four verses of this chapter. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Did you see what happened here? Look at this king before a captive. Look at this Gentile before a Jew. Look at this grown man before a teenager. This is an awesome sight. I wonder what all his advisors and everyone else in the room thought when they saw the king doing this before this young Jewish captive. In verse 47, the idolatrous king confesses the superiority of Daniel's God. Daniel labored to give the glory to God, and he succeeded. It worked, because Nebuchadnezzar glorifies God, although he does give honor to Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar gives gifts to Daniel, and the king is wise to make Daniel a leader. And Daniel is wise to remember his friends. Praise the great God of heaven. Because as we shall see further in this book, he has already fulfilled this dream. The great God of heaven set up his kingdom during the days of the Roman kings. This kingdom is the church. Jesus set up the church. Therefore, Jesus is God. He is the God of this dream and the God of this interpretation, and he is the God who reigns over Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian Empire. I want to encourage everyone here to live faithfully in that kingdom even tonight. Are you doing so? Do you need our prayers? Do you need our counsel? We want to give it. If you have a need, please come forward right now as we stand and sing.